Welcome back to the deep dive. So, we've gone through all the material you sent us, the articles, the white papers, all the performance metrics, and today we are doing a deep dive into Stellar.
XLM, right.
Exactly, XLM. And this is, well, it's not just another decentralized network story, is it?
No, not at all. Stellar is really engineered to be this this connective tissue.
Right. Between the big financial institutions and, well, the billions of people they don't normally serve. Our sources really position it as this open source network with a huge goal.
Yeah.
Just to cut the cost and time of moving money across borders, make it a utility.
And that dual function is exactly why this deep dive is so critical. You have to look at Stellar from two totally different angles. On one side, it's this brilliant, you know, super effective piece of global infrastructure, a utility that actually works.
And on the other?
On the other, it's a tradable asset. And those two roles, they create a really serious kind of built-in paradox for anyone trying to figure out its value.
So our mission today is to break down the tech, the big institutional partnerships, and then, you know, turn a critical eye toward why all that success hasn't really translated into big market performance.
Exactly. Stellar is the definition of a high utility project that just challenges all the usual crypto investment assumptions. We need to walk through the evidence to see why.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that core utility, because before we even talk about price, you have to respect what Stellar does technically.
It's all about global remittances, fast and cheap for everyone.
And when you look at the raw statistics in our materials, I mean, Stellar is a serious high-performance athlete here.
It really is.
The two numbers that just jump out immediately are speed and cost. On average, a transaction doesn't take minutes. It settles in what, 2 to 5 seconds?
2 to 5 seconds, which for cross-border settlement is basically instant. But I think the cost is what people often overlook.
It's minuscule.
It's 0.000001 XLM. I mean, think about what that means in the real world. If you're a bank moving millions or just an individual sending $50 from New York to a village in Kenya, the cost is basically zero. It's built for that, for micropayments where a normal bank fee would just eat the whole thing.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second, though. We hear about speed all the time. Solana's fast. Other L1s are fast. What makes Stellar's efficiency so specific to payments and institutions?
It's the combination of speed with, I would say, regulatory stability. Stellar has always prioritized being compliant and reliable over just, you know, chasing raw speed records.
Right, that's an important distinction.
It uses a consensus protocol that guarantees finality almost instantly, but without the drama of, say, proof of work's energy use. It's not just fast, it's predictably fast. And that's what banks and aid organizations actually care about. They need certainty.
Certainty over chaos.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And they aren't just staying in their lane as a payment rail. They seem to be moving into being a full-on financial platform.
This is the maturation of the network right here, moving from just payments to a whole financial architecture. And the sources point to two huge changes that are happening right now.
Okay, let's start with the big one that changes what developers can even do. Sorobon.
Mm-hmm.
Our sources confirmed this phase launch is happening through 2024 and 2025. And this isn't just adding a feature. It's like changing the whole building's foundation.
Absolutely. Think of it like this. Before Sorobon, Stellar was a great high-speed cash register. With Sorobon, they're building the entire automated bank.
So DeFi.
Exactly. Smart contracts let you build lending, insurance, all those complex DeFi apps directly on the network.
And it's built on Rust, which is a big deal for some developers, right? It offers security that can appeal more to enterprise users than, say, the standard Solidity language.
It's a really smart move. They're trying to bring in a whole new class of developers who want that institutional-grade security. It just massively increases the utility of the XLM token itself.
And speaking of institutional adoption, here's where it gets really interesting. Because Stellar is sort of quietly taking over a very important niche.
Real-world asset tokenization. RWA.
Yeah. And our materials show it's not a small player here at all. It's a global leader. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in tokenized U.S. treasuries, commodities, real stuff on the blockchain.
And this is so critical to their whole mission of being a financial bridge. I mean, why are asset managers choosing Stellar for this?
Because it's stable.
Because if you're going to put a U.S. treasury bill, one of the safest assets on earth, onto a blockchain, You need that chain to be just as stable and compliant and predictable.
Like Franklin Templeton.
Exactly. Franklin Templeton is a huge asset manager. They use Stellar to host their money market fund on-chain. That is a massive stamp of approval. It proves Stellar can handle way more than just currency swaps. They can handle global asset custody.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that focus on stability explains why they have these deep institutional partnerships. It's not just press releases.
No, these are long-term operational integrations.
Tell us about them.
Well, beyond Franklin Templeton, you have MoneyGram. Stellar provides one of the core rails for their global payment system. And crucially, they have deep ties with Circle,
the issuer of USDC.
Right. Having a native, fully functional USDC on Stellar is an absolute must-have if you want to attract serious institutional money. They need that reliable dollar-pegged liquidity.
But don't institutions like MoneyGram kind of hedge their bets? Work with lots of blockchains.
They do, but the integration seems deeper here, especially when you add in the regulatory side of things. The biggest piece of evidence for their commitment is Stellar's compliance with ISO 2022.
The global payment standard.
The standard that the entire global banking system is moving to. It's how banks will talk to each other to move money. By being compliant, Stellar is positioning itself to plug directly into the pipes of the modern banking system. They aren't trying to replace SWIFT, they're trying to be the high-speed settlement layer inside it.
So they're basically saying, we speak your language.
Oh, yeah.
It removes a huge barrier to entry.
A massive one.
And what's so interesting is that while they're integrating with these giants, their mission is still focused on the little guy, the unbanked.
That's the heart of the project. It's used for global aid distribution, for payroll in emerging markets.
Yeah.
And they do it by building these cash to crypto ramps.
Right, over 90 countries.
Which means someone in, say, the Philippines can walk into a local shop, swap their cash for a digital asset on Stellar, and send it anywhere in the world almost for free. It's utility with a real social purpose.
It's a powerful story. A super efficient network backed by institutions focused on financial inclusion, which brings us to the big turning point, the big question.
The investor's dilemma.
Why doesn't all this amazing utility automatically lead to investment success?
This is where you have to put on a different hat. The core criticism you hear is that the network is paradoxically too efficient.
Too efficient for the token XLM to really gain upward price pressure.
Exactly.
Let's break that down for everyone listening. The transaction fee is 0.00001 XLM. It's nothing.
It's functionally nothing.
So if you're on another network and you need to pay, say, $100,000 in gas fees, you have to hold a lot of that token.
Yeah.
But on Stellar, even if usage triples tomorrow, the amount of XLM anyone needs to hold is tiny. You just use it and move on.
And that's the trade-off. They designed it for mass adoption, for low barriers to entry. They wanted people to use the token, not hoard it as a speculative asset.
So it's an incredible piece of infrastructure.
Wildly successful. But it means the token's utility doesn't create that scarcity or demand that investors look for to drive up the price.
It's like a toll road that's so cheap you can pay with a speck of dust. Great for traffic, terrible for the person who owns the company that makes the dust.
That's a great analogy.
And the competition in this space is just getting tougher. It's not just their old rival XRP anymore. Our sources point to high-speed chains like Solana.
And Solana has lower transaction costs and a massive developer community.
And then there's Tron, which is huge for stablecoin volume.
Absolutely. Stellar has its compliance edge, its ISO 2022 card to play, but it can't just rest on its tech. It's a crowded field.
And on top of all that, you have this constant sell-side pressure from the Stellar Development Foundation itself, the SDF.
Mm-hmm. The SDF holds a huge chunk of the total XLM supply, and they have to sell it periodically.
To fund their operations, right? To build out the ecosystem, fund Soroban, build those cash ramps.
All necessary things for the network to grow and succeed. But every time the SDF sells, it just puts this heavy lid on the price. It's a classic conflict between the project's growth and the asset's speculative potential.
This raises an important question, because beyond the market stuff, we have to talk about the structural critiques.
Mm.
Like, how decentralized is Stellar, really?
That's the challenge you hear from the crypto purists.
It uses the Stellar Consensus Protocol, which relies on a quorum of trusted nodes.
Right.
And critics point out that these trusted nodes are often big institutions, major companies, and nodes run by the SDF itself or its partners.
And while that structure gives you incredible speed and stability,
the argument is that it's less decentralized than, say, a huge proof-of-stake system or Bitcoin's miners.
It's that trade-off again, speed and certainty versus pure, trustless decentralization. Mm-hmm. Stellar chose a model that works for institutions. When Franklin Templeton is on your network, they need to know governance is predictable. For them, that's a feature, not a bug.
But it will always draw criticism from people who prioritize absolute decentralization above all else.
Always.
And finally, there's the cultural piece we can't ignore. The low retail hype.
Yeah, the anti-hype.
You look at the big bull runs in crypto, and they're often fueled by this retail momentum, social media, this moonshot feeling. Stellar's approach is methodical, corporate, quiet.
It's the grown-up in the room.
And that means it just lacks that speculative energy. It's stable, predictable, and utility-driven, which often means it underperforms more volatile assets when the market gets crazy.
It's built to move the needle on global finance, not on a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And that philosophy really dictates everything, including its market performance.
So what does this all mean? We've reached the end of our deep dive,
yeah.
And we've laid out two really different realities for Stellar.
Two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. On one hand, you have this incredible utility, 2 to 5 second settlement, a global leader in RWA tokenization, future-proofing with Soroban, and ISO 2022 compliance. I mean, objectively, Stellar is succeeding at its mission.
As a global financial bridge, yes.
But on the other hand,
yeah.
You as an investor have to face these very real built-in risks. The paradox of efficiency, the SDF sell pressure, the centralization critiques, and just fierce competition.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought for you to think about.
Okay.
Given that Stellar is designed from the ground up to bridge TradFi with the digital world, to prioritize low-cost global aid and regulatory compliance over speculative gains, does its success as a network even require its success as an investment? Or have we finally found a project where fundamental world-changing utility and the price of the token are intentionally and structurally decoupled? Something to think about the next time you see the news headlines right next to the price charts.